now import into the bond. Postal import we have seen. Now let us switch over to the import into the bonds. Now the bonds is nothing but is a custom bonded or warehouse where goods are imported for the purpose of export purpose. Even though they brought into the country, they will not enter into the market into the country. So it means it will be held in the warehouse in the customs authorities, custom authorities custody. For such import bonds, no import license is required because that good will not be consumed by the countrymen. It will be immediately going to some other countries. That is the reason there is no duty, custom duty is applicable. It is only the facility which is provided by the government for keeping the goods meant for the export purpose. This bonding facility is desired. Okay. And such a bills or such a goods, whenever it is coming to India or it is stored in the warehouse, that time, instead of issuing the bill of entry, the customs bill of entry is getting issued by for warehousing that goods, which does not permit it to enter into Indian territory or it will not come into the market unless and until relevant duties are paid. If importer thinks that though these goods are imported, now I have planned, I have better price in locally, then I can very well utilize that. Rather than exporting, I can sell it in domestic market. Under such situation, these goods will be released by the customs on specific request by the importer, and goods will be released, provided that subject to that customs duty is paid, which is calculated by the customs officials. Okay, any goods which are deposited into warehouse that can be stored for the period up to maximum period up to 1 year into that bonded warehouse. Maximum period up to which you can store that into, you can import and store into that warehouse is a 1 year. And in that case, in capital goods, in case of the capital goods which is intending to be used with 100% export oriented units, such a goods can however be stored in this warehouse up to a period of 5 years. Okay, now coming down to understand a little bit about the import through the courier. Okay, import through the courier. The registered courier, as per the foreign trade policy, is permitted to handle the consignment which does not exceed the value of US$100,000 and above. Value should be less than $100,000, and that can be handled through by the courier company. Banks are therefore allowed to send the remittances up to a ceiling permitted by the government of the India from time to time, and subject to production of the courier wrapper and the bill of entry which is passed by the customs as an evidence for this import. Courier receipt evidencing the courier receipt which is evidencing the import into India must contain on its face that name of the courier services, then it should be stamped, signed and named by the courier service at the place from which the credit states and the goods are to be shipped, and indicates that date and date of pickup and receipt of the wording on this own, this date will be deemed to be the date of shipment. A requirement that the courier charges are to be paid or prepaid may be satisfied by the transporter, by the transport document which are issued by the courier services. Now, evidence of import. No doubt, all these type of, all the importers we have seen, type of goods we have seen, type of channels we have seen. It means through all these channels, everything comes and it passes through only one channel, that is a custom channel. it is custom channel. And there it will be passed down to the ultimate buyer, that is importer. Many times it happens, the smuggling, as I narrated some time back, smuggling happens. Leaving aside the custom channel, illegally, certain import is happening, which is called as a smuggling. Unless and until certain documentary evidence is provided, this will not be considered as a genuine import. Therefore, for each and every item which is imported, must have the evidence of import. That means it is stamped, verified, and permitted to be used by the permitted and passed by the customs official, which is called as bill of entry. So bill of entry is a conclusive proof of having received the goods into the country, which the importer, and that is applicable only to the physical imports, which passes through the customs channel. Now, these custom assessment certificate or postal appraisal form, which is declared by the importer to the custom authorities, where the importer has been made by the post, courier bill of entry, or maybe by customs bill of entry or custom authority case, where the goods have been imported through the courier, as evidencing from the goods which the payment was made actually has been imported into India. In respect of the physical import, as an evidence, there is a requirement of the bill of entry. Irrespective of the fact whether it has come from the warehousing zone or through the SEZ, or it is directly received through the customs authority channel, the bill of entry is a must. Now, this bill of entry is nowadays, after introduction of IDPMS, that is Import Data Process Management System, the custom authority have stopped issuing the printed bill of entry, that is evidence of import, to the customers. Only they can give the reference number of the bill of entry, and they upload that bill of entry into the system called IDPMS. So there is no physical copy as such for the IDPMS. Most of the regulations which are mentioned here are relating to the physical bill of entries, which is required to be submitted, still age old, because 5 years back only this IDPMS has came into the existence. Prior to that, all the time physical bill of entry is required to be submit as an evidence of import, right? Then, yes, same I have already explained. AD banks should satisfy whatever the declaration given by the customs and uploaded in the bill of entry format on the EDPMS has to be cross-checked by the AD bank, and it should satisfy with that and allow the reasonable time for submission of the document. Earlier, for documents were submitted first. Import documents were submitted first for the payment, and bill of entry was submitted later because it is under process by the customs officials. Now it doesn't happen. As soon as the goods are coming, immediately bill of entry is getting processed and uploaded on IDPMS, and at the time of sending the remittances, it will be easily available on IDPMS platform. So these guidelines are, truly speaking, are not applicable to the physical import or physical bill of entry. Okay. ORM module, at the time of sending the remittances, the module which is used from the IDPMS is the ORM, that is outward remittance module, and close the transaction for outstanding bill of entry which is shown in customs portal, that is IDPMS. Okay. Evidence of import in lieu of bill of entry. Many times, there in old scenario, now for irrespective of the value of the imported items, when they are coming to the customs channel, no doubt even for $1 bill of entry will be issued by the customs. But for the old import, there is a lot of instances of missing bill of entries, or importers are not at all bothered to submit this important document to their authorized dealer banks. In such situation, a lot of follow-up is required to be made by the banks. Under such situation, some leeway was given for the big corporates whose annual turnover or whose net worth is approximately not less than 100 crores, and the amount of foreign exchange which is remitted is less than $1 million or its equivalent, then for them, the customs department or customs officials and also bankers are advised by the government of India that you can obtain a certificate in lieu of physical submission of the bill of entry, to the extent of when the company is having the minimum net worth is not less than 100 crores and their foreign exchange earning or foreign exchange remittance is not more than $1 million, then obtain a certificate from CEO of company or chief executive officer of the company or statutory auditor of the company confirming that the goods have received by them. Okay, in addition to that, the facility is also extended to certain government department like Indian Institute of Technology or Institute of Science, Indian Institute of Science, whose audit is generally undertaken by CAG. CAG is a Comptroller and Auditor General of India, that is CAG, whose audit is undertaken by them. Declaration from the auditor, CEO of such an institution can be considered in lieu of bill of entry. Okay, outward remittance message as hitherto will be required to be by uploading this type of certificate in lieu of bill of entry, and outward remittance which was sent or proposed to be sent can be matched with that where the at least minimum details are provided so as to understand the remittance is pertaining to this particular goods based on that certification given by the CEO or Auditor General or auditor of the company, the transaction can be undertaken and bill of entry can be waived off. Now, in non-physical form, when there is an import in non-physical form, particularly software or data through the internet datacom channels and drawing and designs through the email, fax, the certificate from the chartered accountant of that software or data drawing or design company has to be obtained by the importer, and bank are advised importers to keep. The customs official should be informed, because there is no control as such whether really this data has been moved to the country or not. So the custom official should be well informed by the importer of such a type of software or non-physical form import. Issue of acknowledgement by the AD banks. This is not required to be done into the detail because this is required for the physical import. In respect of the settlement of outward remittance with the evidence of import, banks shall, in cases, issue an acknowledgement slip to the importer which contains the name of the importer, address of the importer, number and date of bill of entry, and the amount of import, and finally the recap advice on the number and amount of bill of entry and outward remittance not settled for the importer. This importer need to preserve this printed importer's copy of the bill of entry as evidence of import and acknowledgement slip for the future use if any authority at any time will be asked to produce the same. Now, extension and write-off. If the bill is not paid, import bill is not paid on the due date, then importer is required to approach to the AD bank seeking the extension, maybe at a time for the 6 months, but not exceeding 3 years at any point of time. And that extension can be provided by the bank after entering the details into the IDPMS, that is bill of entry extension, so that at that this will remain, it will not show as an overdue. Okay, then also if the request is made in IDPMS which involves the write-off for the extent to the extent of 5% of invoice value in cases where the amount declared in the bill of entry and the actual remittance which is made as per the invoice, okay, due to the operational reason, banks must be satisfied to the extent of that 5% leeway is given, then that much amount, if it is remain outstanding, if bill of entry is for the higher amount, remittance is sent and 5% only left out as a residual amount in the bill of entry and appearing continuously in the IDPMS, then that 5% amount will be subject to write-off at the request of the importer by giving the satisfactory reason to the AD bank. Banks are permitted to undertake such kind of activities, and in respect of short shipment or destruction of the goods, port or custom authorities, health authorities might have destructed the goods because it is not suitable for utilization by the countrymen. Therefore, so if such a evidence, documentary evidence is submitted, then in that case, such a kind of write-off can be undertaken by the bank at the request of the importer, and the IDPMS entries as an adjustment indicator, it can be undertaken. Okay. While allowing this kind of write-off, bank should ensure that the case is not subject matter of pending civil and criminal cases. Then the importer is not come into the adverse notice of enforcement directorate or any other law enforcing authorities, including the Central Bureau of Investigation, that is CBI or DRI or any other law enforcing authority. There is a system in place under which the internal inspector and auditors are required to verify physically all the bill of entry to the extent, not exactly 100%, but randomly they can check it off, and 100% check for the write-off is required to be undertaken by the bank's internal auditors. Follow-up of evidence of the import. For the purpose of follow-up, it is required to be followed by the bank with the client or with the importers, those who are not submitting time within a given time the bill of entry, and also related document pertaining to the outstanding bill of entry. Similarly, bill of entry data, if it is not settled against outward remittance which was sent as an advance remittance, for that also there is a requirement to the follow-up to be made by the bank. Okay, verification and preservation. This internal inspectors, auditors, they have to carry out the verification and they have to undertake the audit where the bill of entry settlement process is followed in the IDPMS itself. They need not check the physically, but whether properly it is adjusted or not, that they can very well see it into the IDPMS and issue the certificate to that effect. Okay, internal inspector, whenever they carry out the verification of these documents which evidences the import other than which is available in IDPMS, for example exchange control copy of postal appraisal form or custom assessment certificate, they have to assess it very, very properly. Okay, document evidencing the import into India preserved by the AD category 1 bank for at least a period of 1 year from the date of their verification. After auditor has verified, at least for 1 year, they have to keep those and don't they should not destroy it. They should keep it as it is. And for the unlimited time, if any investigation is going on for particular transaction and bill of entry is submitted, in such a situation, this bill of entry can be stored as long as the investigation is not completed. Okay, and thereafter, this can be under the normal circumstances, if the bill of entry is not provided by the importers, then rigorous follow-up is expected to be done by the authorized dealer banks by issuing the notices, letters, registered letters, and finally required to be reported to Reserve Bank of India. Okay. Now, import of the gold, silver, platinum, jewelry, and foreign exchange of Indian currencies. Friends, some regulations relating to the type of import and type of importers under open general license or freely importability or under the licenses we have seen. Now, import of the gold jewelry, okay, including the jewelry made of the precious metal or studded with the diamond, or it may be studded with the precious stones or semi-precious stones. When it is imported, for them, there is a specific regulation, that is sector-specific regulation is made in Foreign Exchange Management Act. It states that for such, because there is a highest liquidity for the gold. There is a very high liquidity in the gold, because gold, if you bring it and immediately sell it and cash can be generated, that is called liquidity. So liquidity is very fast. So under the circumstances, the period, that is supplier's credit and buyer's credit, that is trade credits, which is generally availed by the importer, but for this kind of import, there is a restriction. There is a restriction for the time period within which the settlement should be completed. Normal settlement is a 6 months, but for these kind of things, maximum period of the settlement is a 90 days. So the letter of credit opened, buyer's credit availed, or whatever may be done during the period, and there, since there is a high liquidity, this should not exceed 90 days from the date of shipment. It means from the date of shipment, within 90 days, payment has to be made to the supplier. And these traders should not avail any buyer's credit or supplier's credit beyond 90 days. Because within 3 months' time or 90 days' time, if you sell the gold in the market or metals in the market, you cannot wait for 3 months. Immediately it can be sold and cash can be immediately generated. So under the circumstances, this maximum period permitted for the settlement of this kind of import of the gold and related items is 90 days, including opening of letter of credit, should not exceed 90 days. Everything should be finished within 90 days only. And that period of LC or letter of credit, and within that, buyer's credit and supplier's credit, even if it is availed, that should also do not exceed total period of 90 days from the date of shipment. Now, import of gold by the qualified jewelers notified by IFCE. International Financial Service Centers are also directed to import the gold through their IIBX or through other exchange approved by IFSCA. International Financial Service Centers and DGFT, Government of India. Banks are allowed to permit the qualified jewelers to remit the advance payment for 11 days of the import of the gold through IIBX. IIBX is a one platform where pricing of this gold happens in compilation with the extant foreign exchange management policy, that is foreign trade policy, and as per the IFSC Act. Banks should ensure that advance remittance for such import through the exchange or AD, which are located in IFCA, okay, shall be as per the terms of the sale contract, other document in nature of irrevocable purchase order, and terms of IFSC Act, regulation made thereunder has to be complied with. Now, import of gold by the qualified jewelers and notified by IFCA, qualified jewelers import by him. First, it is permitted, no doubt. Advance remittance for import of the gold should not be leveraged in whatsoever form, importing gold worth more than the advance remittance which is made. Okay. Next, in case of import of gold through the IFCA authorized exchange for which advance remittance has to be made does not materialize, or advance remittance made for the purpose is more than the amount which is required, the unauthorized or unutilized advance remittance shall be remitted back to the same AD bank within the specified time. In short, when advance remittance said for $1 million, they are permitted to do so. But actual import which has happened, $500,000. Remaining $500,000, immediately with the same bank, it has to be written back by the ultimate supplier of the gold. The gold which is imported through the IIBX shall submit the bill of entry or any other such applicable document which proves that the conclusive proof that gold has received, which is issued by the custom authorities to the AD bank from where the advance payment has been remitted. And all the payments made by the qualified jeweler for the imports of the gold through IIBX shall be made through the exchange mechanism as approved by IFCA in terms of IFSC Act and the regulation. Any deviation from this is definitely considered as a violation, and appropriate action will be initiated. The IFSC authority will conduct all the required due diligence for import of the gold, because it is a very sensitive commodity. Okay. And they have a separate line of activities to be undertaken for the inspection of that, controlling of that. Okay. So they should, IFSC also should put in place necessary system and ensure that the advance remittance which is received from qualified jewelers are solely for the purpose of importing to the gold through the IIBX. For that purpose, certain responsibility and regulatory issues related to the AD banks, certain guidelines have been issued, which all are required documents, custom duty related procedures, filing of bill of entry, that should be well within the specified time period has to be submitted. Then, single multiple ORM which is created in the IDPMS, that should be closed within the given time, and it should not be kept outstanding. Okay, importer, that is qualified jeweler, should comply with extant regulation under FEMA and FTDR Act, foreign trade policy, etc. AD banks have to frame their own internal policy so as to understand the mechanism clearly by their employees as well as by the importers also. In respect of other than gold, that is other precious metal like platinum, palladium, rhodium, silver, refined cut polished diamonds and precious semi-precious stones, there also same strategies applied. maximum period for import is permitted to the extent of 90 days. Within 90 days, either letter of credit is issued has to be closed, imported without letter of credit has to be closed. So maximum period of settlement of the import of this kind of other precious metal is also restricted to the up to 90 days only from the date of shipment. Okay. For that purpose, AML, that is anti-money laundering policy, KYC, etc., has to be observed by the AD Bank as advised from time to time by the Reserve Bank of India. Any large or abnormal increase or variation in the volume of business should be closely monitored by the bank, and it has to be reported to the Reserve Bank of India. Now, import of the gold on unfixed basis by certain traders or nominated agencies. You know, RBI, Reserve Bank of India, has given a license to import of the gold on unfixed basis, on consignment basis or unfixed basis. And certain agencies are also nominated for import of goods, including few banks which fulfills its criteria. So, the nominated banks, nominated agencies that are permitted to import the gold on outright purchase basis, subject to condition that although ownership of the good shall be passed down to the importer at the time of import itself, the price of a gold shall be fixed at latter date as and when importer sells the goods to the user. Means, if the bank is a nominated agency, they have imported the goods, gold, they have stored the gold into the security agency's vault, and when ultimate buyer of the gold come to the AD Bank for the purchasing that gold which is stored there, okay, unless it is physically purchased, the right, ownership of that goods will not be transferred to the ultimate buyer. In short, even though goods are received by the importer by the nominating agency, the ownership of the goods will remain with the ultimate supplier only, as long as it is not sold to the ultimate user or gold or jewelry maker. Okay, at that point of time, in consultation with this overseas supplier, the price of the gold will be fixed, and when money is received from the ultimate buyer by the bank, then bank go to the security agency's vault, open it, and that much quantity gold will remove and it will give it to the ultimate buyer. At that point of time only, it is considered as the sale was happened. Till then, the complete control of the supplier, even though gold is in custody of the bank or security agency's vault, is there, complete ownership will remain with the supplier of the gold. This is called consignment or unfixed price basis import of the gold. Thank you very much.